at the tape table. And then I also wanted to let you know our tape set on an introduction to figures of speech and parables is dwindling down. So if you had aspirations of purchasing this, you might want to get it today. There's only about 8 or 9 of these left. So again, at the CD table, you can get that after the fellowship. From the bookstore also, we have a new item, a new Bible. It's the King James Version Nelson Giant Print Bible. That's for those of you who like to maybe read your Bible across the room. Or if you're like myself, you just like larger print nowadays. But they're also priced very nicely at $10 each. And so if you're looking for something like that, it's in the bookstore now. And I also wanted to remind you there's no leaders meeting tomorrow night. So if you're a part of that fellowship, remember tomorrow night there is not a leaders meeting. And then I did want to mention briefly our newsletter. You can also get all this information on our website for Scriptural Study Groups of Central Ohio. They always have the Tom's article for the newsletter. And something else I wanted to let you know, I'm not sure if all of you know this, but we also have, you can go to any of the previous articles. If you want to kind of go back, if maybe you don't have all of the hard print articles and you want to go back and see the different teaching articles that have appeared in the newsletter, you can do that on the website. And then you also know about the scriptural, what do we call it, Eric? The where they can look stuff up? Yeah, the scripture reference menu on the website where if you're studying certain things and you want to see how a certain verse has been handled in different teachings over the course of time, you can find that information. So there's a lot of great stuff on the website, the calendar, of course. If you haven't checked it out yet, you may want to check that out. And I think that's it, Tom.
Okay, wonderful. I did want to mention, you know, the bookstore, I think most of you know this, but a lot of thought and care and prayer and research goes into that bookstore. I used to do the bulk of it, and now Lorraine does a lot more than I do, but really everything in there has been hand-picked. The bookstore is not a money-making operation. We get things as cheaply as we can. We sell them to you for not much more than they cost us. The main reason is to provide things that we think will bless people in their pursuit of the study of God's Word. So pretty much everything in there, I'm firmly convinced, is going to benefit at least a portion of the people in our fellowship, or we don't carry it. That's why, like, people are often puzzled as to why we don't have every book by a certain person, mostly because Lorraine and I and sometimes others have read them and decided that some were more beneficial than others. So, you know, that being said, it's if you haven't ever really examined the bookstore, it's not like other bookstores. It's certainly not like other Christian bookstores. And really everything in there, I bet if you haven't looked at it for a while, you'd find at least one thing in there that would be a profit to you. So keep that in mind if you would, okay? The other thing I wanted to let you know about, we've got another camp coming up, believe it or not. That's our family camp. And several of you I've discussed with you regarding teaching at family camp. And having just been through the teaching of Ephesians for a week, I've reevaluated some teachings and how they should be set up. So hopefully most, if not all of you are here today. If I've asked you to teach at the family camp, if we could meet briefly after the fellowship back in the corner office, if you have other responsibilities, maybe get someone to cover them for you for a few minutes, because that would save a whole lot of phone calling if we could talk for about 5 minutes after the meeting, okay? Well, as I said, we just came out of teen camp. It was one of the greatest times of my life. I suppose it always is. I don't know if every year seems like the best. This one, I was blown away at what I learned from God's Word, and certainly at the quality in the hearts of so many of these young people that I got to know over the course of the weekend. I'd venture to say the quality in their hearts probably changed some from Sunday to Saturday as well. And that's why it's so great to do a fellowship like this one where we can, get to hear from the voices of other believers for a change, things that God did to bless them, things they experienced, things they learned from God's word, certainly, and other things that would build all of you up. So the way we're going to do this is we're going to have people sort of line up against that wall and come up here and then go down that way and then go back to wherever you were seating. Okay, so any of you who were campers at teen camp, teens, or like pseudo-teens, we've got a few 20, 21, 22, we call them teens for the sake of simplicity. And of course, any of our staff who'd like to share, why don't you come up and line up and we'll start hearing from all of you, okay? Tell you what, Nina, you're first while the rest of them get lined up, okay? We're supposed to have a microphone man here. There he is. Okay, good. Because we're sort of different height.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Tell them who you are. Tell them how old you are. Tell them how much you weigh. No. If you want to talk about how many years you've been at teen camp, if you remember, that's fine. But let us know who you are and how old you are, okay? Thanks. Go ahead.
I'm Nina McCaw. I'm 19. This is my seventh year at teen camp. First off, I'd just like to say that I feel a little silly sharing with you what I learned because the teachers put months of studying into this word and weeks of prayer, and so much heart went into these teachings. So I'm just sharing a glimpse of what I can, but really it was a lot of work went into these teachings. And what I really wanted to share with you guys was I think some of you are like me. I've been I can say that I think I've been standing on the word for a while, and I'm a leader here. I'm involved in this church pretty much, and I do love God, and I love his word a lot, and I think a lot of you are like that. You're like me. Some of you have been standing on the word for, like, forever. 30 years probably seems like a really long time, and to me it does. I wasn't trying to be rude. I mean, I just, you stand on the word for a while, and the thing that I learned the most was that God still has more to show us. God still can open your eyes. And I think that my whole heart changed, which is hard to believe that I feel like my heart changed, a long time ago, but it still can change. It still can grow more. And there was two prayers that Paul prayed in Ephesians. One was the first one he prayed for, which, first off, it's really cool because he wasn't praying for this for himself. He was praying for others, which just tells you the heart of Paul and the heart of Ephesians. That he heard of their faith and their love. Like, this is written to born-again Christians. This is written to people who were loving, who were standing. And he still prayed for their eyes to be enlightened, to know the hope of his calling, the glory of his inheritance, and the greatness of his power. And he still prayed for that. And it was cool because, as a member of the body of Christ and as one who wants to serve here, love is the only motivation that we can have to do anything, a love for a God. And I really wanted to love God more. I really wanted to have that really be the only motivation, because still sometimes I'm like, well, it's my responsibility. I got to do it. Or, no one's going to do it if I don't, or whatever, I think. I wanted to do it out of love, and God really did reveal himself to me and really did enlighten my eyes when I really let him, and not thinking, well, I've been standing, so I know all this stuff, but, I don't. And God will continue to show me stuff and continue to enlighten my eyes. And, the other prayer Paul prayed was that, after God enlightens your heart, then you're ready for Christ to dwell in your hearts. He prays that we were taught that Christ may pitch a tent in your hearts, that Christ may really dwell in your heart and your mind. And I really truly believe that happened for me this week. Because I did let my, my guard down, and I really said, all right, God, and I was blown away. I was enlightened, and I didn't really think that was something that was going to happen because I'd been standing, but I was truly enlightened. I was truly blown away by how much God loves us and how much God really has more in store for us than what the senses may tell you, that he will constantly show you. And I'm excited because the rest of my life, every single day I can be enlightened, every single day that can happen. And I just wanted to share with you that it can happen for you every single day, because the thing that moved my heart was the word of God, the scriptures. That's what was like you know, I asked God to reveal himself to me, and it wasn't, I wasn't sitting and, you know, and God moved a tree, and it was like God showed me in his word, in his scriptures, and I was like, that's so cool, because every day I can read that and remember. God will still show this to me every single day, so it's something that can happen for all of us every day. And so there was one line that Tom said that he said, it will be Christ in me and not me talking about Christ. And I think that stood very loudly for those of us who do serve in the body of Christ, that we do talk about the word all the time, and we do talk about Christ, but it will be Christ in you. It'll be the Spirit of God. It'll be you walking as Christ instead of me just talking about how good it is, but it will be good. So I just thought that would bless you guys. Love you.
And someday, if you're really nice, she might show you all the different voices she does. That was revealed at teen camp. We were all astounded, to say the least. So, but we'll save that for another sharing, huh? Okay, great. Come on up, bro.
Hi, I'm Andrew Luden. I'm 19. I think this was seventh year at teen camp. Sort of glad Nina went before me, because what I wanted to share about was what the calling that we're called to, that it talks about in Ephesians 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And then in verse 7, it starts to talk about the ministries we have and how we operate those to serve in this body. But what really hit me in this camp, and it hit me because it's in the Word, is that we're called to serve in this body. We're not called to just build ourselves up and when it feels convenient or when we're at fellowship to walk out on the Word, but we're called to serve one another in love and operate what God's given us, and just seeing that the body of Christ, that's what God's placed us in, and that's what we're to operate in. And, you know, there's no getting around that. And, you know, all the members operate and we serve each other in love. And it just hit me a lot that that's, it says that that's the purpose of the ages, for us to do what God wants us to do. And I don't know, that's pretty much what I have to share.
I'm Jared Thomas. I've been going to teen camp for a while, since I've been like 12 or 13. I got in early, but I'm 19 now, and turning 20 in a couple weeks. This year was definitely an amazing year, you know. Like Nina said, finally realized that God's word is God's word. God is the author of his word, and he's still alive. It's not like it's Macbeth. It's not like it's Huckleberry Finn, that this writer's long past, gone and dead. This word of God is living and powerful, and he's still alive to show you what it means. One of the big things for me was, everybody shared on it, or everybody taught on it, but just the overall, in chapter, the end of chapter 2 says, in verse 21, it says, in whom a building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple of in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an inhabitation, or for a habitation of God through the Spirit. I think it was Alfred sharing on this, and he just went back to the temple of God in the Old Testament when Solomon was building it, and just how perfect that went together. And then that's us, you know, that's the body of Christ. We're the temple of God now. You know, we're a habitation for God. And then chapter 3, you can just skip over that. You don't skip over it, but to get the, it's a parenthesis, you know, it's a diversion from the original context. And my favorite part was then going to the verse 1 of chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know, when you think about the last verse of chapter 2, how we're the temple of God and walking worthy of the calling that God has called us to, you know, he has called us to the body, as Andrew was saying. You know, he has called us. And when you remember how perfect that temple of God is and how amazing, you don't screw around in the body of Christ. You know, you don't screw around in the temple of God. If I was in the temple of God, literally in the Old Testament, you knew that God was behind these few walls and in this curtain, I'm not going to walk through, you know, anything. You know, I'm not going to be fooling around. I'm not going to be, yeah, picking my nose and spitting or whatever, you know. It's a humbling thing, you know. It's a humbling thing to remember that we are the temple of God as the body of Christ, and you hold yourself to that standard. And I'm sure someone else is going to share it, but that's one thing. You put off that old stuff. You put off, no, I'm not of this world. You know, I don't have to act like everyone else. You know, I have a new standard. I have been made the temple of God by God, and I can put that off and put on that I am the temple of God. You know, we are the temple of God. So that's what blessed me. Love you guys.
Hello, my name is Anastasia Kalan. I'm 19, and I think this is my sixth year of teen camp. It was a great week of just seeing the body of Christ work together and just take God at his word. And a verse that really just hit my heart was Ephesians 4:30 that says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." God has enabled us with his Spirit. He has equipped us in this life. And when we take hold of what he's given to us, that we can be imitators of the Most High God. We can walk as Christ walked. We can just love with that same love. It's an amazing thing. And when we speak God's word to people, when we speak his word that is living and powerful, we can touch those people's whose hearts have been calloused for years. And it was just an amazing thing to realize that, yeah, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want to wait around any longer. I want to start living this stuff. I want to start seeing the fruit in my life. So I was really blessed by that. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Lauren Donahue. This is my first year at teen camp. I'm 14. It was really an incredible year. It's like everybody's always talking about how like awesome teen camp is. But when I got there, I was like totally blown away by everybody's love for me. And like everybody, like, I don't know, it was just really incredible. What really blessed me was like, sorry. What really blessed me was that they talked about like the first teaching. There was like, there are no divisions in the body of Christ. When everybody is working their ministry and walking in love, everybody is like one person, one new man. And it was really incredible because I'm kind of shy. Well, I'm really shy. And like, I'm not good at approaching people, but I know that I can approach them like my brothers or sisters. I can just go up to them and say, "Hey, I love you," and they'll love me back. And it was really incredible because, like, we're just one body, and we can act like that, and we can, like, hold each other up, and we can operate our ministries together and build each other up. And just, it was just so incredible for me to hear that. Thanks.
Oh, man. Hey, and you moms and dads, we didn't drug them. We didn't coach them. These are believers, man. You've got them in your homes. It's not like teen camp's this magic experience that makes them good for 1 week a year. These are believers living in your homes. Oh, man. We need to love these guys. We need to encourage them. We need to fan the flame of Christ living in their hearts. I understand there's still responsibilities of mom and dads, and there's still teens who do stupid things. But underneath all that, there's some great believers blossoming here. 14, 15, 16 years old. Oh, goodness gracious. We need to help with that. We need to assist these wonderful young men and women who are endeavoring to grow up in God's word. Oh, you're just delightful. Thank you so much for sharing. That was wonderful. Who's next here? Uh-oh. Okay.
I'm Zach McCaw, I'm 15, this is my third year at teen camp, and one of my favorite things that I learned was, I think it was Tommy used this analogy, got to level 8. It's like, I slowly realized throughout the week how much I've been wasting my life away. Like, last year at teen camp, I came back, I'm going to learn and continue with God. And this year I came back, and it's just, there's a lot of correction, and it's great. But the level 8 analogy was basically, like, you have a higher calling than level 8, or trying to do something in the world, like go to college and get this awesome job and become rich and get all these fancy cars and stuff. But it's there, you have a higher calling, and there's something better to be done than get to level 8. So I guess that's all I have to share. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Jeremy McCracken. I just turned 16 this week, and this is my third year of teen camp. It was just really a blessing just to see the body in operation and see all of our ministries. But yeah, it really shows the power and the awesomeness of God. Like, the angels are looking at this body that God designed and thinking to themselves, this really shows the power of God. This was a hidden God for so long. If the principalities and powers of this world knew about what was going to happen with this body, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just been really great to see that. In Ephesians 1, where he's making the prayer, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, he goes on in verse 19, and he's saying, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" And that "according to" sets a standard. It shows, it's comparing it to the working of his mighty power, and that mighty power is what he wrought in Christ when he raised Christ from the dead and set him above all principalities and powers. And it says, "far above all principality and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all the church, over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And then in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That could better read, "even you who were dead in trespasses and sins." And, like, in verse 23, he was talking about his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Even you, who are dead in trespasses and sins. And it goes on in chapter 2. And it says in verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." Like, God is just there. He wants to show you so much grace and kindness that he has for you. And yeah, it's just really great to be able to see that in the body and see everything that God's made us to be, and that we can just put that in our heart, and then that'll really come out if we can just keep putting our identity in our heart and what God's made us to be through the identity of his Son. Because we have Jesus Christ in us now, and there are lots of Jesus Christ out there. and yeah, the principalities and powers wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ if they knew what was going to happen with that, because when you do that, so much more is available, and you're not walking by your flesh anymore, because you're Christ, and you can see so many spiritual things. But that just unlocks everything. And so that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Hi, guys. I almost didn't come up here and share because I get really nervous in front of people. But, like, one of the teachers covered how we're going to, sometimes we have to go outside of ourselves to bless the body. Like, when Christ was hanging on the cross, he didn't say, "Oh, this hurts, I think I'm going to come down now." He died for us. He did that. Like, so we don't need to be nervous around each other. This week, we covered, like, relationships with God, with each other, with our husbands or wives, with our children. And a verse really blessed me. Okay, thanks, Tom. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Like, so many times you see natural man trying to stop sinning, and they can't do it. Like, and they try to stop sinning, but their motives are for themselves. Like, and God, like someone said, he'd be a cruel ogre if he was asking us to do all this stuff and he hadn't made us able to do it. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Like, the battle is real, but the armor is sufficient. That was really cool. And we put on the armor by just believing what God has made us to be. Like, we're his children now. And Christ is in us. Do we want to let Christ set up camp in our hearts or not? And, hold on. We need to remember who we are and start walking as that. And as we do that, the change in behavior comes when we change our minds. And that's when the power is unleashed that we have. And we don't share the same nature, father, or future as unbelievers. So why would we want to walk as them? Why would we want to do that to ourselves? And God has called us to something so much higher. Like when the angel, like Jeremy said, when the angels look at us, they see the wisdom of God. And that's just so cool because, like, we're in the age of grace. We have a relationship with God. We don't just, like, go in once a year to talk to God. We can talk to him anytime. And that's what blessed me. It was just cool.
You know, Christy mentioned getting outside of yourself. That sort of became one of our themes, I think, for the week. For a lot of people, realizing that believing means stepping out into something I've never stepped out into before. For our leaders, certainly that was something we talked about daily, you know, that the leaders were called upon to do things that they weren't capable of doing, that in some cases they were scared to death to do. But that's what believing is many times. And, you know, so many situations where God brought things to people's minds, they knew what they needed to do, but they were scared to death, and we just encouraged each other. Nothing wrong with being scared to death, you know. God can work with you being scared to death, but are you going to move forward despite being scared to death? And so much great deliverance came, and so much, I think, of a reminder of how believing works. A lot of us just decided to believe God in a lot of different categories this week, and it was uncomfortable and scary for all of us. But there's deliverance on the other side when you step through, and, you know, that was something I think we saw daily, don't you think? And really multiple times daily, so great to be reminded of that. Let's see. Okay, come on up.
Hi, my name is Daniel Jobin. I'm 18. This is my fourth year at teen camp, and I started out the week just really, I really just thought that I knew I was going to be honest to myself, be honest to other believers, and be honest to God most of all. And I had some really tough decisions to make this week, you know, like life changing decisions. And they're like big walls in my life, you know, things I couldn't get past, things that I struggled with, and. You know, I really trusted God in him, and I broke through those walls, and let me tell you, he was there waiting for me. And I honestly cannot stress to you, if you haven't given God and his word a chance in your life, please do it. Because, I mean, believe me, I've been in the world, and I've tried those things, and they're not going to love you like God can. They're not going to give you anything. You know, they're empty, and God's word is eternal, and I mean, God's word is true. Take it from me, you know. And if you don't take it from me, take it from some of these other kids, you know. These teens are some, I mean, and as far as the body goes, you know, I mean, where else in the world are you going to go to a place where everything works in harmony like it does here, you know? I mean, it's really amazing. So what I really just learned was just, you know, you can always trust in God and he'll be there for you no matter what. And I can't stress to you how much, like, if you haven't given God and his word a chance, please do. You will be surprised, you know. And honestly, right now, I cannot stress to you. I know I keep saying that, but God showed me some things, and that's what I wanted to share.
So you're a blessed guy?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I'm 17. This is my fourth year at teen camp. And I'm really nervous right now, so I have to just remember that Caitlin can't do this, but Christ in me can do this. So what I realized was God's word is the truth. We're in here, like right now in this building. We're the God's purpose of the ages. Like, the devil doesn't want you to know that because he's scared. Because you have Christ in you. Like, all right, well, I learned that too. It was really cool. But then there's something else that I learned that showed me how, even after this emotional stuff is all gone, after this teen camp where everybody's standing is gone, in the middle of the year, I can still be standing and still have this real to me because I go to God's word constantly. So maybe, like, at teen camp, when everybody else was like, yeah, I totally get it, and their eyes were opened, it's okay if you were that kid that's eyes weren't totally opened. That's okay. How many people in this room know that? How many of us have sat there in the middle of these teachings and been like, I don't get this, so I'm screwed. Sorry. But you're not, because God will work with you. I mean, if you've ever read about Gideon, it's freaking ridiculous. Like, so I don't even care, but he was scared and he was unbelieving. And I'm scared and unbelieving, like, all the time. And I condemn the crap out of myself, and I think I can't do it. But you can. All you have to do is be ready to work with God and go with him, because he'll work with you. You see people like Kathy Burke and, like, people that have been standing on the word forever, like Nina said. And it's like, how do they do that? Probably not by a teen camp a year, getting real pumped up and then being like, all right, let's go party, or let's go hang out with the believers every day, which is cool. But I want something more than just a great time at teen camp and then being like, oh, darn it, it's gone. It's up to you to keep it. That doesn't mean be freaked out, but that means go to God's word faithfully, all the time. Brendan Burke was my fellowship leader, and I was like, whoa, because 4 years ago, if you looked at Brendan Burke, he's not the same. And I was like... And I was just kind of like, man, what's your secret? Because he's not fake. Like, that's the thing. We don't have to be fake. You don't have to be like, I'm believing the word. I get it. No, you don't. If you don't get it, don't get it. But at least be honest with God, because it'll work with you. And so I talked to Brendan, and he, like, told me the secret. He told me how to do it. Because, you know, there's some people that have hung out with Brendan, and then all of a sudden you're like, they did it too. Well, we can do it too. All of us can do it. And it's not about being the most enlightened one at teen camp, the one who gets it, because I got it after I stopped freaking out because I wasn't getting it. But it was after I realized that God's going to work with me after teen camp too. What? God's real after teen camp? Yes, he is. And he's going to be there for you. When you just, okay, the only thing you have to do is be faithful to God. Be faithful. Go to his word every day and ask him to teach you. And he will. And, like, there's a vision for the rest of your life, not just for getting it today, you know? And I can't even explain it. Like, it doesn't even make sense in my brain all the time. But I know that even when I wake up in the morning and it's not real to me, and I go to his word and I continue to do that, the more of the words you put in your heart, the more that's going to persuade your thoughts. Because I was freaking out because I was like, what if my ex-boyfriend calls me and I'm not holy Caitlin who wants to remember to do the word? So I'm not there yet. But I'll get there if I'm faithful to go into God's word, and so will you in those areas where you're really weak. You just keep going to the words. You don't have to be changed right away. But if you're faithful to it, you will be. So that's all that I have to share.
As you can tell, one of our goals at teen camp is to homogenize the teens so they all look the same, talk the same. We're not doing too well at it, though, I don't think. So come on up, Darlene.
Hi, guys. I'm the same height as Caitlin, so you didn't have to move it. I thought I'd only been at teen camp for 4 years, but then Caitlin said 4 years, and I was like, oh, crap, it's been five for me. So 5 years, and I'm 17 years old. And one thing that was different for me this year was I went to teen camp knowing I was unhappy. I went to teen camp knowing I wasn't satisfied with my heart, with my walk, with anything. I was really lonely. I just got upset a lot, and it's just, I knew that's not what God wanted for me. And I didn't know why I was. I didn't know where it was coming from. I just knew I wasn't happy, and I wanted to change. And my prayer in the beginning of the week was that God would change my life. And what he did was show me that that's the wrong prayer. He already changed my life. He changed your life when you got born again. It just takes us forever to realize it sometimes, but it doesn't have to. And it was just really cool to see God change my heart. And I can tell you this, but you're probably just going to see it from the way I act. Like, I never thought I would be bawling my eyes out singing, "Oh, Heavenly Father." Like, I'm not that kind of person, but it's just, God's word is so true, and God is so great. It's like, he can touch you so much when you just ask him. And sometimes when you ask him to, like, help you look in your heart and help you see things, he shows you stuff you don't want to see sometimes. You know, you turn on the light, you're going to see the dirt and the crap. But you got to see it to get it out of there. And so it's a lot of trusting God. It's a lot of tears. But, you know, he can work with you as long as you're honest. And that's another thing I did this week that I've never done before, is be honest and say, "God, you know what? I don't get all of it. I don't believe all of it even. What I do get, sometimes I don't believe, but I've got, like, maybe this much believing. And if it's genuine, God can work with that. Whatever you've got, he'll work with. He can't work with liars. He can't work with fake believers or fake love, but he can work with true love and true believing. And I also just wanted to take this time, since I have all of your attention. I just really wanted to thank Tom and all the people who taught, and also my parents and all of the other parents. It's made me a lot more thankful. Sorry. It's made me a lot more thankful, because I never had to not have God. You know, I chose times where I didn't want it, but I never had to, like, be completely alone. And I don't know what it's like for you guys who got born again at 19, 20, 30. I don't know. I don't remember getting born again. I don't remember speaking in tongues for the first time. I've gone to fellowship every Sunday since I can remember. But I'm just so thankful that you guys had the believing to speak the word to your kids, because that's why we're all here. The majority of us, it's because of your believing that we're here. And I'm just so thankful for that. I love my parents. I just wanted to thank you guys, because I love your kids too, man. They're awesome.
Hi, I'm Angeline Burke. I'm 16. It's my fourth year. This year, at the beginning of the year, I was, like, when I got my letter in the mail, honestly, I was kind of mad that I wasn't a leader. And it was completely wrong for me to be like that. But it was so great, because throughout the week, I realized the leaders that were there, they had been preparing for this for months. And, you know, I wasn't prepared for it. And just their hearts and their lives and the staff, too, it was as an example, you know. And it's like, I couldn't say that my life was an example when I went into teen camp. And what blessed me so much was just that you could see that the word that was being taught was being lived, you know. And it was like the staff and the leaders had been living this for forever, you know. And they had fought for the word in their lives, and they'd fought for the word in each other's lives. I'm sorry, I don't cry very often at all, if any of you know me. But it's just like, that was such an example, not just us as a teen fellowship, but it's like all of us here. It's not like a teen body of Christ. It's an everyone body of Christ. And it's like, I can hang out with a 5-year-old and speak the word and learn, you know, and talk about the word. Or I can hang out with someone my age, or I can hang out with someone 80 years old, you know. It's still the same spirit, you know. It's still the same body. And it was just really, I really, really, really got blessed by all the examples. And I just sat with the staff a couple times, and it's like, you see these people talking about the word, and it's like, just so real for them. It's like, you hear them talk about the first time, it's like, I looked at Caitlin, I'm sorry. And you hear them talk about the first time they got, like, when they got born again, or the first time they spoke in tongues, and it's not just a memory for them, it's real for them. And it's like, yeah, I'm thankful for that time, but I'm still doing it, you know, I'm still fighting for it. And that's what I want to be. And one of the teachings that really buzzed me was Josh's teaching. Nina was talking about the prayer where he prayed for understanding. There's three things, but the thing that really got me was, like, the hope of his calling. He prayed that they could understand the hope of his calling. And Josh said, like, sometimes you think the hope, and that's like what someone in, like, their deathbed is, like, the hope, I'm coming, you know? But it's like, that can be the reason why we live, you know? Why would you want to spend 8 years of your life living for something that's going to die, you know? Something that's going to be burned. It's like, this is something that's so real for so many people. And that's what I want to live for. And I don't know, this year was just, it wasn't just an emotional high. It was a foundation. This is how you live it. This is how you do it. And I don't know, it just really blessed me. That's it.
Hello, I'm Brennan Kelly. I'm 18. This is my sixth year, probably. But it's just cool this week that in Ephesians 1, Paul prays for the Ephesians, and he says that, you know, that the eyes of their hearts may be enlightened. And it's just something that I saw that you can tell that everybody here that they saw that it's just a matter of doing that, realizing that God is there. I know there's an example that somebody already shared, and that was used in one of the teachings, that, you know, you can argue about the works of Shakespeare, and you won't know what he meant when he wrote them because he's dead. But God's still there, and God's willing to show us, because he's given us his word, he's given us his spirit, and he's willing to show us how we're supposed to be doing this if we just ask him, if we just really just make the same prayer that Paul had, that our eyes can be enlightened and that we can really see what was, you know, what his word has to say for us, what his word mean, what it should mean for us, what we should be operating. And, you know, all these guys, the reason that they've seen all these things and that they've, you know, they've seen the word grow in their heart. It's because we made that prayer and we saw that, and it's something that, you know, and because it was the word that hit our hearts means that it wasn't some trick that the teachers used or something that, you know, or is the week long. I mean, people were this way Monday night, so it wasn't that it was a whole week that was necessary. It's just, it was the word that hit people's hearts, which means we have no excuse if we want to live in this, if we want to operate in this body, then it takes realizing that God's the one that gave us his word. God's the one that figured it out, so why not ask him to help us understand what's going on? And that's, you know, that's what we have to do. And so we really don't, if we want to live for this, then we really don't have an excuse to not know what's going on, because we can ask God and he can show us from his word, because he's the one that wrote it. He's the one that wrote it and had it put down. So it's just a matter, you know, that's just something that I realized, that it's, we can know how to operate, we can know how to walk in this life, because God has put down his word for us, and he's willing to be there to show us. We don't have to figure it out. It's not a big mystery or some mysterious thing that we have to guess at. God will show us. It's right there in his word, and it's his words are power. So we just have to just realize that, and realize that he will show us if we have the desire to see. So that's what I want to share.
Hi. Can you hear me? I'm Jonathan Covington. I'm 16. This is my third year at teen camp. And the thing that really blessed me and tried my heart this week is the fact that I needed to get my butt beat. And I did time and time again. And, you know, because I was so prideful and so arrogant, I couldn't accept reproof before. And that's just so wrong, you know. And, like, I really realized that reproof with love really helps you so much, you know. And I really realized how much that burned away all the crap in my life, you know. To see someone love me enough to tell me, look, you're wrong, you're messing up, you know, to realize I'm never going to reach a spiritual plateau where I can't be reproved, because we all need reproof, you know. And there's just been so much this week that God has done for me and done for my heart, you know. And I really realized that, you know, I was deceived, flat out. You know, it's hard to accept that, but the adversary was using me like a puppet, you know. It's like, I really realize how much I need every single one of you, you know, how much I need you to grab me by the hand and tell me I'm wrong, you know, because out of my own merit and my own strength, I can't do anything. I'm never going to be able to do anything, you know, but if I can chalk it up and accept that with help, with your help, with God's help, you know, working as a body, you know, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings and I can do anything with God, you know, that if we just give it to him, he will supply all of our needs. And That was definitely just one thing that blessed me this week. So I love you guys, and that's all I want to share.
Hi, my name's... Can you hear me? Okay. Hi, my name's Catherine. I am 17, and this is my fourth year at teen camp. Unlike like Jonathan, I really need my butt whipped with about my friends. It was really hard. Like, I had my sister, I had friends at school, and I even had my mom tell me that I needed to change my friends. Like, every year at school, I'm like, you need to change friends. And then I was just like, why? I'm like, you don't know them. And then when I went to Amber, she was my fellowship leader. She was telling me that I needed to open my heart and ask why am I hanging out with him, or just why everything was going on. So I didn't mean to cry. But I was just like, I didn't know. And when Amber said I needed to open my heart, I was like, I thought my heart was open. And it was like, I was shocked because I was just like, this is crazy. But then when I heard Claire's teaching, I was very blessed because she was just saying how when I teach someone the word, like when my friends the word, I could, sorry, I'm a little nervous. I go to one of my friends, and if they don't want to hear the word, they're not going to be my true friend because I have something to give, and if they don't want it, I shouldn't hang out with them. And it was really hard to really hear that because I was just like, dang it. There's just like a lot of people. Like, I just really needed to hear it. And that's just what blessed me. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Rachel Schicks. I'm one of those pseudo teens that Tom was talking about. It's my ninth year at teen camp. And I'm 21 years old, and I think I'm finally starting to grow up in the things of God after 9 years of teen camp and, you know, I guess I thought I had to reach a certain point of perfection or knowledge or something to really put myself out there and really believe the word, and to not just be like, oh, you know, I'm a child of God today, because, you know, I am, but to really, you know, accept that as a fact, you know, when all of us accepted Christ as our Savior, we were marked with that Holy Spirit of promise. We were equipped, and it, I don't know, I'm trying to, really been trying to arrange my thoughts to try to present this to you, not present, but to share this with you so it makes sense, but I'm never going to reach a point by my own means where I attain this certain thing so I can really put myself out there. If we wait till some perfection or some certain amount of knowledge to really start believing the word, we're not going to. It's, you know, we have Holy Spirit. It's just, what are you waiting for, really? We don't do the word of God because, I don't read the word because I want to have a good day or a good week or because people around me are, because you guys are all so wonderful. I do it because it's true. Because when the word of God says I'm a child of God, it's not something that gets me through a day. It's because, you know, I'm a child of God. And just to, I think just like we've been saying, like the eyes of your heart really enlightened to these are facts. It's not just something that blesses us for a week, sorry. But something that it's true. And I just really saw just for the first time, just, you know, we are seated in this spiritual realm high above all principalities and powers. That's a fact. We are children of God. That's a fact. And we can walk out on these truths because they are, you know? And I don't know. It just the word of God. I don't want the word of God to be something I do, but it's who I am. It's who God made me to be. It's, I don't know, but I just wanted to thank you for, you know, just for the patience people have had with me of me being like, yay, I'm blessed, and then being like, but just, I don't know. Thanks for your patience with me and my believing, and just, I just want to encourage you guys, like, what are you waiting for? Like, the word of God is true, and just, if you're still kind of like, yeah, it's true, you know, the eyes of your heart can be enlightened to, these are facts of your life. It's not just something you do. It's your life, so, thanks.
Hi, I'm Kristen Kelly. I'm 16, and this was my fourth year at teen camp. And there were so many things that I saw for the first time, but one thing that really God got through my big head was that the only thing that's stopping you from living the word if you're not doing it is your decision not to do it. Like Rachel said, God's word really is true, and if God's word says that you're righteous and you're not of this world anymore, if he says you're not the devil's property anymore, if he doesn't have the right to mess with your mind anymore, then that's true, you know? A lot of times I have these excuses like, well, in the middle of the year, if I'm not living the word, if I'm just having a hard time, if I'm kind of dull, like, oh, well, maybe God's word's true, but this is nice too, you know? Then my excuse is like, well, at teen camp, I'll get charged up again, you know, or after I graduate from high school, once I'm in college, you know, I'll have a bunch of believers, and then, you know, then I'll really start living, or once I grow up and have kids, like, you're never going to do it if you keep on having these excuses, like, well, now I have this excuse to not do it, you know, I'll just leave it for later. That's crap. That's the devil tricking you, because he knows what you can do to his kingdom if you decide to believe God's word. He's scared out of his pants. I don't know who else said it, but he's so scared that we're going to start believing what God has made us to be, you know? And like in Ephesians 2 where it says, like we used to be dead in trespasses and sins and we were children of wrath. Like, that's true. We were that. We were dead. We were in the grave, like no hope or anything. But you're not that anymore. If you keep having these thoughts in your mind, like, you know, getting distracted or, well, I'm not really to the point to serve in the body of Christ yet, you know, I'm not quite worthy or anything. That's like the devil trying to trick you, you know? He does not have the right to be in this body of Christ fooling around, you know? Don't give place to the devil, like it says in Ephesians 4. You can believe the word. You can live the word. There's nothing stopping you besides your own mind saying, well, I can't. You know, I guess just, I don't know, if you have these things that are stopping you from living the word, they don't have to be there, you know? It's not bigger than God's word. God's word is above all that. God is greater. God is God Almighty, you know? If you have anything that seems to be stopping you from living the word, it's just being blind. It's just the devil putting colored glasses on so you think everything's a certain way, but it's not, you know? If you read God's word, that's the truth, you know? That's who you are, and there's no buts about it. That's who you are, whether you've been in the word for a day or 30 years. That's who you are, you know? And one other little thing that blessed me so much was I got to be a dorm steward this year, and me and Annie Sheck were together, in our room, like, we're 16, and we're in a room full of, you know, 13 and 14-year-olds, and they were such an example to me, honestly, like, sorry. Just, if you come to God's word with a meek heart, however old you are, I don't know, whatever, like, God's word changed them, you know, just... I love you guys a lot. Don't forget what you learned. Because even though you're 13 or 14 or I guess you guys aren't 13 or 14, but no matter how old you are, God's word is the thing that changes you, you know? You don't have to keep on walking like you aren't who you are in Christ, you know? I don't know. You guys in my dorm, you just blessed me so much. Just what a meek heart you had to God's word, and you're really an example to me. So I guess that's all I share. I'm done rambling, but thanks.
Hi, my name's Michael Luden. I'm 16, and this is my third year at teen camp, and I guess I learned a lot this week about Ephesians and the body of Christ, and something that really hit me was teen camp is, everyone who went to teen camp is not, that's not the whole body of Christ. Everyone who's in this room is not the entire body of Christ. The people who go to that weird fellowship or that other fellowship that we don't talk about, if they've believed on Jesus Christ, they're in the body of Christ. And you not talking to them and you not helping them, that's on you. That is not, they're some weird person. They're in the body of Christ. And you not helping them, you're not doing your job. And I guess the body of Christ doesn't work like a machine. You can't just replace a part that's broken. If a part's broken, you have to fix it. No one else can take that part's place. And, I mean, everybody in here, if you're born again, you're part of the body of Christ. It's not just for teens. It's not just for people who've been in the Word for 20 years. It's for someone who's been in the Word for 3 months. Someone who just got born again. They have a job in the body of Christ. And I guess that's really what I wanted to share.
Hi, my name's Abby. I'm 14, and this is my second year at teen camp. Well, I had this, like, whole thing planned out, but then everyone, like, stole what I was going to say. So I just really want to thank Ren. He was my fellowship leader. And he just exhorted us continually to just be honest with God, you know? Like, you go to God and you say, God, I'm not believing all this yet, but, you know, I can believe this much, and help me believe, you know? Because God's not going to, like, Josh used the example, you know, he gave Claire this whole, like, dream house, and then he just gave her the keys and was like, all right, go have fun with it, you know? God gave us his spirit, and then he's going to help us use it, and I don't know, and I just want to really exhort you guys to, you know, let Christ dwell in your hearts and keep God's word in your heart, because it's the only thing that's worth anything, and this world is going to come to nothing, but God's word is going to stand forever, and I don't know, just you adults, like, find a teen to talk to, because I can say for certain that no one wasn't, like, everyone was changed by this teen camp. I can, like, for definite, everyone was changed. So just, like, talk to someone about it, and I don't know, just live God's word. All right, that's all. God bless.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Christina Williams, and I'm 17, and this is my fourth year at teen camp. And something that was really made known to me this week was that, looking at Ephesians, it's easy to think, okay, I've read Ephesians, I know what's in it. But something that I realized in the week was, in order for me to get something out of God's word, I have to come to it with an open heart and be ready to not only read and know what's in there, but believe it myself. It says in Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'm the one who believes this. I'm the one who has to apply it to my own life. It's not enough to just know the word of God and think I know it. No matter how long I've been in the Word, I still have to believe it. So that was something that really kind of wowed my mind this week. And I think it's something that everyone needs to know. So thanks.
Hi,
Hi, my name is Dakota Hansen. I'm 15. This is my third year at teen camp, and what really just surprised me this week was God's willingness to help you with anything. I mean, if you take it to him, he'll help you with it. Like, I'd always been so prideful. I mean, I just thought I couldn't ask God for anything because I need to take care of it or I need to do this. But a lot of the stuff in the body of Christ is spiritual. You can't do it on your own. You got to really go to him and ask him to help you, like with the enlightening of your heart. You can't do that yourself. How are you going to enlighten your own heart to God's words? They're spiritual and we're physical, we're flesh. But how he, like, if you really go to him honestly and ask him just with no pride and be like, well, I don't know if he'll do this. If you just really go out there, take the step and be like, if I ask him to enlighten my heart, he will. He did for me this week. It was a powerful thing to see God really work in my life, become my God, not just God of my parents, God of, well, I've seen it work in other people, so I mean, I guess that's how it's supposed to work. Or no, he can be your God. He can work in your heart to do powerful things and show you things in his word. And just like the record in Gideon, I forget who brought it up, it just, God showed him something four times and he wasn't even his own son and we're his children. How much more is he going to give us now that we're children? And he's just so faithful and so willing to help us, and that's just really what blessed me this week. So thanks.
Cool. So I'm Max Moraz. I'm 14 and this is my first year at teen camp. And one of the biggest things that hit me is when you, even after you've been born again, you know, in Romans 3, it goes on about this big list of how horrible people were before they were born again. Like, their mouth is an open sepulcher. That's pretty nasty. But I was born again when I was little, so I don't remember what it was like to have my mouth be an open sepulcher. But even though we aren't like that anymore, if we aren't walking in the Spirit, if we haven't renewed our minds, that's how we're acting. So, you're renewing your mind, you know, it's simple. You just got to think who you are in Christ, and would a son of God act like that? You don't have to act as horrible as you were before you were born again. There's no reason for it. You're a son of God. You're righteous. So, that's all I have to say.
Hello, my name is David Gilbert. I'm 15. This is my first year at teen camp. And something that really blessed me and, like, really changed my life is I used to always say to myself, like, back when I was, like, 12, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not old enough to start doing the word. You know, like, I see all these people who are, like, 20 and older than then, and they're really striving. Like, God's going to work in me then, you know? And, like, when I was 13, the same thing, 14. Even before I came to teen camp, I was just like, you know what? God's just gonna like put something in me special when I'm old enough. But you know what? I can do it now. Like the verse, Ephesians 4, verse 30. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, that's what I've been doing. I've been grieving the Holy Spirit. I haven't been using it. You know, I mean, I have it, but I haven't been putting it to the use that God wants me to. It's almost like a slap in the face to God. I've been living like the old man, but you know, God sent his son to die for an enemy. And he did all that, and I'm not gonna go out on his word. I'm not gonna use the Holy Spirit. And now, you know, now I know I can. After this week, I know I can go out on the word, you know. I have trust. And I know I don't have to wait till I'm like 23 and God's gonna come to me and give me this special stuff, you know. And I can start working for him. I can do it now. I can go back to where I live. I live in New York. There's not many believers around me. And I've been really, you know, getting bogged down with this world and just, like, forgetting about God almost. But I can go back and I can teach them. Not only can I stop living like the old man, but I can change people around me too. And that's all I wanted to say.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lyric Hansen. I'm 14, and this is my first year at teen camp. And this week completely just shuffled up my priorities. Before, I'd been like, oh, maybe I'm going to go do this, and then that'll be important. And then God's word was, like, way down on the list. But this week just kind of, I was just honest with God, and I'm like, you know what, I don't understand this, I don't get any of this, and I just prayed, and it blew my mind how much I saw. This week, you know, before this, it'd been like, yeah, I was interested in the Word, yeah, the Word had been my life, but it was never really mine. I had never really taken it, I had never really put it on in my life that much, and this week, I just prayed, and God showed me, it's like, He opened my eyes, it's my Word too. It's not just the Word that Tom teaches or my parents showed me. It's mine. It's my life. It's my job. It's who I am now. And I never got it before now. It never really just clicked for me. And this week it's like, you have to do it. It's not enough that it's awesome that you can see when it becomes yours, but you have to put it on after that. It's not just, oh, you see it and there's magic pixie dust and it happens, but you have to do it. You have to make it your own. You have to believe and put it on. And this week just showed me that I don't have to live like I was living. It's like, oh, yeah, God's Word, that's awesome. I want to go play video games. Like, no, God's Word, that's my life. I want to do that instead. I want to be a light in this world. And this week just really helped me with that. So that's all I had to share.
Hi, I'm Isaac Zika. I'm from North Carolina. I'm 17, and this is my third year at teen camp. And what I really saw this week was in Ephesians chapter 2, where it talks about how, I know somebody already shared this, but it was even us who were dead in sins, and it was by God's grace and His mercy and love that He saved us. And what I saw is you don't move beyond that. I was talking with Amber one day, and I kept asking her, well, is it this simple? And she kept saying, yeah, it is. I really got to the point where it was a struggle to do anything in God's Word. I would go to the prayer house, and I would just get so depressed there because I thought, well, I'm not praying hard enough. I'm not doing this well enough. I'm not doing it with the right heart. And I wasn't. I didn't go there with the right heart. It was all just to become acceptable before God. And in Ephesians 2, it talks about how we are the display for all ages of God's wondrous, kindness to us and His love. So I just, wanted to say that if you don't see that in your life, I'd really exhort you to just take a few steps back and once again see how much God has done for you, even when you do walk away, and just rest in that and see His long-suffering and His love toward us. So thanks.
Hi, I'm Sarah Bankert, and I am 17, and this was my second year at teen camp. But before I tell you what really blessed me this year, I actually skipped a year in between the teen camps that I went to. And a lot of that was because I went to my first teen camp, not knowing what to expect. It was kind of just like, everyone's doing it, I'm the right age, why not go see what I can do? And I got hit hard that year, but I fell as soon as I got home. And I realized this year that I didn't have a foundation. I had lived my entire life in a family that's in the Word and hearing the Word, but I had never gone to God myself and actually looked at what He's given me and what He can show me. And so all week, I spent my time reading Romans, I was in Brendan Burke's fellowship, and it really blessed me because, he'd come up to me when I was just reading, and he'd be like, well, what are you reading? I'm like, Romans. And, it happened like 5 times throughout the week. I'm just like, I'm reading Romans and Romans, and God was just like, read it. Let me show you what I can show you. And I'd even just open the book, and
you know, he'd show me the exact same thing that I just read in Romans in a different book of the Bible. And I was like, that's so cool. Like, and just how much he's given to us. And like, Brandon, you know, like, I would open the Old Testament and not even know what I was reading. I would get so confused and so lost. And Brendan, like, that's what he so enjoys, is reading the Old Testament and learning about it. And he just, and I don't even think he realized it, but he helped me so much to just accept what God's given us and really want to live it and have that hunger. And not just hear it, but to know it. You know, hearing, you know, coming to Sunday fellowship every week isn't enough. You have to look at it by yourself and commit it to your heart and guard it, because that's what will prevail. And that's what will stay in your heart. You know, I'd come to teachings and I'd forget them, you know, an hour after I got home, not even knowing what was said. And like all week, I just kept going back over teachings and refreshing my mind in it. And I finally got it. I finally just, you know, accepted it and was like, okay, you know, this is life. Like, this is how we need to live. And I mean, like, I noticed everyone up here, it's all spiritual. No one mentioned what changed us physically. And like, I even got healed this week. And like, that's so just in the back of my mind. Like, even 2 days after it happened, I almost forgot about it. Because that wasn't what was important to me anymore. It wasn't the physical realm. It was the spiritual realm. And, like, because we have Holy Spirit, we have knowledge in four dimensions. It's not the 3D anymore. We have a fourth realm that we can have understanding. And not just knowledge of, but understanding in our heart of. And, like, for me, I finally feel like I can actually go out into the world and not just, you know, be a child who gets whisked away with every wind that comes by. You know, and I was lucky enough to have most of the winds leading towards fellowship, but what was that doing? You know, it's just like, I'd go to school, the wind would take me somewhere else, and you know, like, yeah, on Sundays I was brought back here, but that wasn't changing my heart. That wasn't changing what I was doing with my life. And for the first time, I feel like, you know, I can go out. I stepped out of my comfort zone this week in the littlest ways, just talking to someone who I maybe said 5 words to, you know, and just being like, it's on my heart to talk to you, and I don't know why. I don't know where this conversation is going to go, but I know we need to have it. And for me, it was just like, I can go out and I can talk to, you know, the friends that don't have Christ in their hearts. And I can be like, look, you know, like, look what you can have. And even if they don't accept it, I know that I can walk away and still be okay. I can walk away and still have Christ within me. And it doesn't matter that, you know, we're not going to have the most friends in the world. And that's okay. You know, like, I'm a senior this year in high school, and I can't stop thinking about what I'm going to do for college. You know, I have all these options open. And I'm just like, you know, it's not up to me. It is not my decision of my carnal and old man mind to make that decision, but I can just leave it up to God and be like, all right, what do I need to do? You know, do I even need to apply to colleges? Do I need to move? Do I need to stay in Ohio? What do I need to do? And I don't have to worry about it because I know that he can lead me to it. So that's just what I wanted to share.
Hi, my name's Brian Donahue, and I've been up here all throughout the teaching, but I didn't think I was gonna come up here, and I even told Jared I wasn't, but, you know, I just think I need to, because, you know, I saw so much at teen camp this year, like, about the grace of God and about how we've been made righteous, and, you know, we don't need to stand approved before anyone but God, and when you go out in the world and they're all like, well, you have to do this to get straight A's. You have to work really hard and you have to do good at your job. But what's the heart behind that, you know? if you're trying to please your employer, you might do all kinds of dumb stuff. If you're trying to get straight A's, I've done all kinds of dumb stuff. But if you're trying to work for God because you know he already approves of you, he's already approved of you, you're already going to heaven, you're already saved and completely righteous no matter what you do. And that's just really freeing, because, I mean, whatever I do in life, I mean, I could move to Las Vegas and gamble the rest of my life and forget about God completely, and I just know I'm still righteous. Like, everyone here still loves me because, you know, I believed on Jesus Christ. And if I did that, there would only be love for me and prayers for me to see that light. But they'd still love me. And so for a while, I was just thinking that, well, man, I see all these other believers that, well, they're doing so much better than me. So I should feel, like, discouraged or frustrated. But even if, you know, I'm not believing as much or I'm not walking in love as much, God still loves me and everyone else here still loves me. So why should I feel like I'm a bad Christian because I don't believe as much as someone else? And who's to say I don't? So yeah, just grow in grace. Remember that God loves you and remember that, you know, you're saved no matter what. Thanks.
You know, this is always one of the longer fellowships of the year for us, but well worth it, I think. I wish you all could have had the view that I had of several things, really, watching this group of teens here just supporting everybody who was talking by smiling. You could tell they're speaking in tongues. They're backing them up. Plus, I got to see so many legs twitching and... You maybe couldn't see it from where you sit, but, you know, it took a lot for these young men and women to come up here and say what they said. They're not all public speakers. I know some of them, it's probably the most people you've ever talked to in your life. But you stood up here shaking and all because of the love of God, see? What's amazing to me is you could easily have listened to these kids sharing and say, well, that person certainly must have been a leader. Oh, I'm sure that person was a leader this week. I'm sure that person was a leader. You know how many of our leaders shared today? None of them. These weren't the fellowship leaders sharing. These were our teens just simply opening their hearts up to the Word of God. And the thing they shared that made them all seem like leaders, and they truly are in the body of Christ, is what they shared with absolute conviction, didn't they? And that's because God showed them some things this week. There's an understanding beyond what you read on the page. And that's what Ephesians talks about, right, guys? And the eyes of your heart being enlightened is something we all prayed for this week. And each one of us came away with a lot of stuff that we're absolutely sure about. And I think any one of them will tell you, if you're not absolutely sure, you can be absolutely sure as well, because... God will certainly open the eyes of your heart to really deeply know and understand his word, if you ask him to. A lot of us did. Did he come through? So we had a great week. And parents, thanks for loaning us your teens. And hopefully you'll get blessed and reproved and maybe even taught a little bit by the teens we're giving back to you, okay? Thanks for being a part of this fellowship today. You guys are the greatest. God bless. See you next week.